Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Just like yesterday.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12. And this must have been the song that half in the bag Governor Murphy of New Jersey was listening to yesterday. Juliet Huddy, substituting for Rita Cosby, who was celebrating her birthday last night, was last seen hanging from a chandelier.
Oh, wait, what? It's her birthday? Yesterday?
Yes, yes. The same day as Mickey Mouse's birthday was Rita Cosby's. And
interesting, she's not here today.
Under the weather. Mm-hmm. Under the weather.
I'm sure she is.
And as a result, you were kind enough, in addition to the news gathering duties you do for the boys in the morning, Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Bernie said in the morning.
You decided to do double duty.
You know, it's always a pleasure to be here, and you got to step up when Rita has to take the day off, and I'm awake. I slept well last night.
I'm sure you did. At your age, you probably needed...
Excuse me! It's true, I do go to bed at like 6 o'clock, but I wake up at 3 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Because I wake up at 3 o'clock. I don't have kids. I don't have to... I
understand, but yeah. I remember when we first met, mm-hmm. we were doing Good Day Early Call New York. At least I was 3 mornings a week. You were the anchor. And that was early morning duty. You were on from 4 to 6 with your multiple partners at the time.
You had multiple partners.
Boy,
that's
you
me.
You had a lot of partners at the
time. Just right in and right out.
And the only like my show partner you had was me, Monday, Wednesday,
that's,
and Friday.
That's actually very true. You were there the entire... You were the consistent... That's the funniest thing. Curtis Sliwa is consistent
that's
in
right.
my life.
Even on
he's
a day...
He's the only one.
On one day, it was pouring rain... I was celebrating my birthday at the time.
Oh, yes.
I had lost my shoes someplace because I was dancing so much. My dogs were yapping.
He literally walked in, and I think it was Ben Simino who was anchoring, right? And he walked in at the same time. And he's like, he comes into me, he's like, Jesus Christ, Juliet, you're not going to believe what I just saw. He's like, Curtis just walked in. He's got no shoes on. He looks like he's half in the bag.
Yep.
I'm like, well, it's Wednesday.
I had these little plastic baggies on that you would normally put dog poop in, covering my feet because it was a tsunami outside.
Why did you not have shoes on? That's the thing. Just like explaining why you have bags on.
I can't remember. I have no idea why I left.
How many
shoes.
Times did you come on the show at 4:30 and were you kind of drunk?
Well, that was before I had Crohn's disease. So from time to time, I would hit the dance floor, and I would just be a whirling dervish into the wee hours of the morning, and I would just come right to Good Day Early Call New York.
I mean, that, and you were 60 years old doing that.
Yeah.
That was like, wasn't
the
like
roof, party
40 years ago or anything.
Red light clubs, the whole nine yards. Was enjoying myself, but those days are over.
Yeah, you're a married man now.
But
you're
I was
an old
the
ball
most,
and chain.
Other than yourself, you were the lead anchor. I was the most consistent, regular contributor to Good Day Early Call for 4 years.
What,
4 years.
Yeah, we went through a... Well, I mean, I couldn't believe that you were... First of all, I think you were only on 2 days a week when I first started, and then you went to three.
Yeah,
like,
they pumped
you
it up
You volunteered to come in 3 days a week.
Yeah, I volunteered five.
Sicko.
They said no.
I don't understand
said, no.
that.
We can barely tolerate you 3 mornings a week.
Thank God.
You're getting a Curtis blast like from 4:30, anywhere from 4:30 in the morning to 5 in the morning. That's when people are waking up. They say, man, that is high intensity octane.
You would come in and you would be on fire. It was like, how does he do this? And sometimes I couldn't even form sentences at that point.
Exactly.
And you're like making us run through all this political stuff. And I'm like, geez, I just want to finish my coffee.
Well, so that must be the reason that you still have that TV clock in your head where you're in the sack at 6 at night.
No, I'm in the sack at 6 at night because I have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, if I wasn't waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be going to sleep later.
Okay, all right. That's right. You got a lot of show prep.
I live way out on the island, so I have to take an early train, and I get here at 5 o'clock.
Where do you live? All the way out in the East End?
I live in Huntington.
Huntington? That's not so far.
No, it's, well, at 3 o'clock in the morning it is.
It's like what? When the Long Island Railroad is running on time. But then again, it never runs on time. That's
no,
an
actually,
hour ride.
Actually, I'm not going to beat up on the LIRR because knock on wood, it has, give me your head, it has been reliable for me, from my experience, and just the basically 6 months that I've been doing it every day.
Well, that's because you're Juliet Huddy. They give you VIP sitting.
No.
They open up the bar car for you at 3 a.m. in the morning.
I wish they had a bar car. God, if they did, that would be a problem.
But
anyway, wouldn't be working here.
Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of the bar car, I believe that Governor Murphy of New Jersey must have been in a bar somewhere yesterday, half in the bag. Because he decided to start brining all the roads in New Jersey.
Because there's weather on the way?
Well, we're going to get to that momentarily. Uh-huh. But your roads in New Jersey are already brined. That means he believes a snowstorm is in the offing. Now, we haven't heard Bill Evans say that. We just heard his weather forecast.
I have done my research today. I've done all my weather hits, my news.
Governor Murphy is of the opinion that a storm is going to clip New Jersey. So he had all the roadways in New Jersey, the major thoroughfares, brined late last night into the wee hours of the morning. But first, let's go back to last Thursday.
Yeah.
Because instead of Governor Murphy sucking it up and saying, you know, I'm sorry, we're responsible, kids having to sleep in the gymnasiums of junior high schools, middle schools, because we couldn't get our act together. No. Pretentious, naturally blaming the Bill Evans, the weather forecasters of the world.
New Yorkers like straightforward explanations. They don't like to be toyed around with. In truth, this was a kind of perfect storm. It emerged bigger and later than anyone expected.
All right, so de Blasio, he wouldn't apologize.
Well, by the way, do you remember, I think it was like 2016 when he finally admitted the buck stops with him when it comes to taking responsibility for the homeless crisis?
Yes.
So obviously we see now he doesn't take responsibility for the homeless crisis. And he still doesn't.
No.
He did say back then, buck stops here, or you know, so to speak. But so why should he take responsibility for it? He wouldn't mean it anyway.
Would not
what do we care?
Even though there were children on city school buses till like 3 o'clock in the morning, they didn't get home till 3 a.m. Then the next day,
it's just words to placate. If he did say he took responsibility,
right? But then the next day, the schools were open, but all the after school programs were canceled, which meant the parents were told that like 8:30 in the morning, and they had to all of a sudden shift their activities because they would normally pick up their children after the after-school activities. So strike one on Comrade Bill de Blasio.
But you know what? But he does this. This is what he does, and he was reelected again. So what is it going to take for everybody
limits.
To kind of
term
run?
Limits?
Besides
see,
that, though,
he can't run again, and he doesn't have the kind
the
of money
up.
That Bloomberg had to bribe himself into a third term. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. No apologies from de Blasio or his administration.
Well, he's so arrogant this time that he doesn't. All he cares about is going out and plopping himself into other cities and trying to run for president.
Well, of course,
the prelude to president. He doesn't care about this city
on our taxpayers' dime. He loves being out in Iowa where there are more pigs than people, going door to door, knocking on the door with his wife and asking them to consider his progressive liberal Democrat agenda in 2020.
I want to emphasize what you just said on the New York taxpayers' dime.
Of course.
This isn't a federal government thing. He's charging you for his presidential run.
But here was Governor Murphy, also pretentious, who would not take responsibility nor apologize for the snow that hit us late on Thursday during rush hour.
New Jersey and the region got an early taste of winter with our first storm. And it came much stronger and hit us harder than any one or any organization had forecasted, and that is a fact. And that, by the way, is not just a reality in New Jersey. That's the case in New York City, New York State, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. The impacts and the effects of the storm.
All right, so he's blaming Bill Evans and the weather forecasters of the world. Then he goes on to say this, Juliet Huddy.
I myself was traversing our roads yesterday first across the state and then coming up here after that. And I understand and appreciate entirely and completely the frustration that I am hearing and our team is hearing from commuters. Every storm gives us, and this is not our first at this point by a mile, gives us a chance to review our response and to make adjustments for the next storm, which we know we will eventually have to meet. It's just a question of time.
So last night, he gave the orders throughout the state of New Jersey from Camden up to Hudson County that all the major arteries, New Jersey Turnpike, Garden State Parkway, 1 and 9, Route 80, they were to be brined in advance of a snowstorm that he says is on its way to New Jersey.
Now, it could be on its way to New Jersey.
I know, but I looked at all the forecasts, and I was wondering, wait a second, it was like 50 degrees outside today.
Doesn't this kind of...
The sun is shining.
Yeah, doesn't this kind of strike you as sort of a first-time governor, overreaction, overzealous, potentially reckless, you know, budget-wise, but just kind of a move in response to getting shellacked on social media and in the press?
Or being so drunk, because he loves to drink.
Oh, come on, he's not going to... That's not going to be a decision that he makes.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
Curtis. Look, when you're really drunk, you start imagining things. You start looking outside of your local gin mill and imagining it's snowing outside.
So you think he was just tipping back a few Hennessy's?
I think so.
I mean, then he could just decide not to do that. I mean, he could have just, you know, while he sobered up.
A few Irish car bombs, right? You know, Jameson. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Paulie in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy in today for Rita Cosby. Paulie.
Hey, guys. Juliet, welcome back.
Thank you.
And you're absolutely right. As far as the budget thing, that's really a thing. And I don't know what, Curtis, what the heck Murphy was doing. But you know what I think? Because of the fact, if you know last week, that your favorite former governor, Chris Christie, was chiming in. He was trolling Murphy. This is a riot. He was trolling Murphy. He complained about the fact, get this, he complained about the fact that he had to go down to a meeting in Piscataway. And I'm thinking, like, what meeting? Like, maybe, like, planning on opening up like a franchise of Big Boys, bring him back or something? And then he complained that it took him 5 hours to get back to Morristown to an office he has up there. But you know what? Chris Christie, you probably don't want to be complaining about traffic issues. That's just a funny thing there. And then he went on a radio station in New Jersey, called up and complained about it there, too. So I don't know. It's like I really – maybe though Murphy ought to really – put him on as some kind of commission thing. Maybe he can help with snow.
Cool.
Stay away from Britain.
Well, remember his big snowstorm when he entered office like in 2010?
Yes.
When he was down in Disney World with his family.
Where he blamed his wife.
Let's talk about Christie.
If you remember, he said he was on the tarmac at Newark International Airport. The snow was beginning to fall. The weather forecast was correct. It was a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife insisted, his olive oil wife insisted, that you either get on that plane with your kids now or we're going to have a problem. He went down to Orlando Disney World while New Jersey was under like 10, 12 inches of snow.
His first snowfall as governor.
His lieutenant governor was away also, at least one of those.
Oh, yes, he was, I think, on a cruise.
Ladania was away also, right.
He's got a lot of nerve.
Right.
So
but,
I think maybe, to your point, Curtis, I think maybe that Murphy was playing with one of the snow globes and he passed out and he imagined that it was snowing. So he said, let's get that ice down now, get those rocks down. I don't know, because it really is like insane to do that, because it kind of makes it even worse optically about the fact that
It also makes it worse for the taxpayers, by the way, because I was reading about some study that New York City did, and it's like $2 million, just $1.99 million for 1 inch of snow. And they basically, I think in 2016, they allotted themselves like $88 million for the whole season. So I mean, you're talking 10 inches of snow, you're talking about $20 million out of your budget.
Juliet, the problem was last week about the fact that that storm was basically, that thing was going to come down around freezing temperatures and was going to hit around rush hour. So that needed some kind of the rock fall thing. It needed that, because the fact is, even if it's an inch, and I know I was on Route 3, I told Curtis, that even with like 3 inches down already, that's enough, because underneath it's slippery and you got cars spinning out.
Yeah.
But you see,
you need that foundation.
When we come back, I'm going to describe the brining process.
This could actually be very delectable,
which,
if you think about it.
Which my father in Chicago had described to me years ago, because that's one thing Chicago had a lot of years ago before global warming, climate change, and Wisconsin, where a lot of slew was with dairy farmers. You know, there.
Polish people out there.
When the snow would hit, that's it. All traffic ceased to move
But snow hits, that's it.
But brining is what occurred all last night at great taxpayers' expense because Governor Murphy, maybe according to the caller, had been spoofed by Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie into preemptively attacking snow that may never fall in New Jersey tomorrow.
That's the best part.
Shamu El Jefe. You know, somebody needs to harpoon him. You know, there she blows. Moby Dick, harpoon him. 1-800-848-WABC.
DOT took the preemptive step of brining state highways to pre-treat them, which you probably heard us say before is an important step to take, which you can only take before a storm gets underway.
So last night, Governor Murphy ordered the Department of Transportation throughout the state of New Jersey, as I had mentioned, from Camden to Hoboken, to brine the major arteries.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? How long does it last, the brine?
The brine, about 48 hours. Okay. Sometimes 72 if you get lucky, if it hasn't been washed away.
My forecast says sun.
Yep. Not only, in fact, today is the warmest day. It will be all week up in the 50s. They are predicting there might be a light touch of snow in northwestern New Jersey tomorrow. But other than that, rain. So
Far away from the bridges.
Right. So he has spent all this money brining, which is like doing an anti-icing treatment in advance. Most times it's done with salt brine. They have other types of brines, which I'll get into. But it can be very corrosive to the roads, particularly if it gets into the streams, the tributaries, the rivers, the corrosion of your undercarriage. The deer, at times, because of the salt, they like the taste of the salt.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas you're constantly having accidents of deer this time of year, particularly as they're fornicating and copulating and dancing and prancing in the highways, more of them are going to be out just licking the asphalt because they like the taste of the brine.
Well, they are trying to, like, reduce the deer population. Maybe there's some sort of strategy happening here.
Deer eradication would be for cars to hit them headlong and turn them into
roadkill. Then it's like the government doesn't have to take responsibility. I mean, you people are doing it. We don't have to take responsibility for it. We're not animal killers.
I see. Well, anyway, in a place like
we're helping the environment.
In a place like Newark, they are actually putting a brine down that is grape drink oriented, and in nearby Glen Ridge in Essex County, they are putting down grape juice. The brine is a combination of grape juice and salt and other products.
Wait a second. So. Let me get this straight. So if it sits out in the sun, potentially fermenting, we could have not only deer meat, we could have venison laying all over the road, but then we could also potentially have wine.
Yes.
So this could be, we could feed the homeless now too.
And it's very culturally sensitive because black people drink grape.
Oh God, Curtis.
Grape drink.
Jesus.
White people drink grape juice.
No, I drink grape soda.
Oh, grape soda.
Yeah.
But there's grape drink. Have you ever had just grape drink, which is like all sugar? No.
Isn't that what grape soda is?
Yeah, to a degree.
Like, well.
But it's fizz.
No, I like that. Yeah. Oh. That's what I like.
Oh, so you're halfway between a Caucasoid and an African American. This is great. Maybe we can make a brine out of that for Huntington, out where you catch the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah. There's enough strange people on the LIRR at that hour.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to comment on your governor who has preemptively brined your roads. 1-800-848-WABC for a snow that may never find the light of day or night. Maybe not even one flake is going to drop in the next 48 or 72 hours. It will be cold, below freezing on Tom Turkey Day and Black Friday.
Oh, well, maybe it keeps the brine, you know, from...
No, sorry. 48 hours, 72 hours max.
Do you know this for sure, though?
I know that.
Do we have any brine scientists out there?
I'll explain to you, because in the state of Wisconsin, which always has more cheese than they can actually sell, they actually have a brine made out of Monterey Jack, provolone, and mozzarella. They make a brine out of cheese.
Well, then bring it. Then we serve pizza, too. We could have, like, venison...
But they
pizza,
they brine the roadways
wine.
With cheese. That's my father introduced that to me years ago because he said, those roadways, you can't lay down the salt because you need so much salt it'll just eat up the asphalt.
So we're not really helping the traffic, but it is delicious eating our roads.
And just think how many deer are going to come out and want to be licking the asphalt for that.
That's
the,
what I'm saying.
Monterey Jack,
could be a
the mozzarella,
here,
or the provolone.
Crafty Governor Murphy.
1-800-848-WABC. Anyway, up next, we've got to discuss, well, this is interesting, the 90th birthday of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Was celebrated yesterday. As Rita Cosby was celebrating her birthday, Mickey Mouse was celebrating his birthday. But Walt Disney, it turned out, stole Mickey Mouse from a partner and was dropping LSD when he was first creating the entire multiplex that we know as Disneyland, Disney World, Fantasia, and other movies.
You act as though that's a bad thing. Back at that time, it was like, you know, the thing to do,
well,
man.
Timothy Leary was evil for dropping LSD, but Walt Disney, he was iconic.
Well, he gave us all these Fantasia.
Now, whoever came up with Fantasia had to be dropping acid.
Congratulations to them, I guess. I
mean, an alligator is hoisting up a hippopotamus as they're dancing on stage.
I don't remember. All I remember was when I saw it, I wanted nothing to do with it. I just thought this made no sense to me.
You had no flashbacks, you see?
I should have been. I guess I should have had my own.
Anyway, let's quickly go to Don, who's calling from Merrick. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Donnie?
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Juliet.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I work for a public utility. That's why I'm lucky enough to hear your radio show every day. But not only, you know, is Brian a safety for traffic, don't forget it gets into the manholes and it is thought to corrode the splices where all the cables are spliced together. That's how you get these big major outages with Con Edison, manhole fires, explosions.
You think, Don?
To the cable, the manhole cable.
What do you think was in Governor Murphy's mind when he ordered the roads to be brined, even though there may not be a snowflake that hits the ground tomorrow?
Well, I think he's got a black eye because of what happened last week, and now he's trying to cover himself.
Yeah. He's hedging his bets. He's thinking, I don't think we're going to have, maybe we won't have a very heavy snowfall this year, so maybe I won't go over budget, and I'll end up looking good.
It's when you've been drinking too much, you imagine things. But anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and up.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
God. Juliet Huddy substituting for Rita Cosby yesterday was celebrating her birthday.
Happy birthday, Rita.
Was hanging from the chandeliers and is under the weather today. So thankfully, Juliet is substituting. But I must say, Rita shared a birthday with Mickey Mouse, who would have been 90 years old if he were real.
That was when Steamboat Willie came out, the movie.
Good. So, you were around then, right?
I remember the days well.
Oh, wow.
I was a little young.
We didn't have all the ancillary devices and paraphernalia from Disney, the Disney sort of Amazon world that exists now.
Well, no, because it was like 1812. I mean, it was a long time ago.
So yesterday, as they're celebrating Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday, my two youngest sons are real Mickey Mouse aficionados.
And how old are they?
Carter is 10, mm-hmm. and Hunter is 7.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So that's prime Mickey time.
So they were down in Disney World over the summer, and naturally they got their Mickey Mouse dolls. I looked at them and said, no son of mine has a doll.
Geez,
don't be carrying that thing around with me.
Well, looks like everybody's here.
Boy, that's
Wait, did you not go with them?
Hold on a second.
What?
Where's he? That sounded like...
Donald, this is amazing!
That sounded like Jared Kushner, right? The son-in-law of the President of the United States, Donald Trump. He's got that same octave level as
Mickey. Gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Jared Kushner, right? In his talks with the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia. But anyway, so I tell my sons, never when we're in public do I ever want you carrying around the Mickey Mouse doll.
Oh, brother, you're putting...
So,
kids.
Last night for my visitation, it was tough because they knew it was Mickey Mouse's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was my turn to take them out to have something to eat. The mother said, okay, see you in about 3 or 4 hours.
You do a toast to Mickey tonight.
I said, no way. We're not talking Mickey Mouse. I need to catch up with you. How are things going in school?
They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about Mickey Mouse.
And their trip to Disney World over the summer.
So you didn't go with them to Disney World?
Hell no.
Oh, jeez.
We're Disneyland on the West Coast, Disney World on the East Coast. I had to give a speech there one time. The food was the absolute worst.
Oh, no. Where did you go? You had to go to the right places.
Bland food. And everybody is walking around with giant turkey legs. Everybody is in... the electric wheelchairs, and they got like two huge turkey legs in their hands. And I said, boy, if this isn't an advertisement
America.
Of how America is not only disabled and overweight, I don't know what is.
Or faking it. That's another option.
So I tell my kids, no, you can't take the Mickey Mouse dollar. I won't be embarrassed like that.
Oh, my God. Curtis.
I said, and by the way.
I think that they're probably very confident in their manliness, and they're okay with
it. There's no doubt. But I'm not confident in being next to somebody who's got a Mickey Mouse doll in their hand. So
God, how does Nancy
they,
do it?
They put it away. They put the Mickey Mouse doll away.
Okay.
And they said, I always say to them, where do you want to go? I want to go to Bruno's in Howard Beach on Cross Bay Boulevard. Bruno's.
How would they know about it?
They'd been there before with
But they
their
don't
mother.
Even live anywhere near that place.
Well, they live a little further. Not only like 14, 15 minutes
Oh,
away.
Okay. Not All right. Far. Unless it's snowing and then
right,
well, be about 7
of course,
hours.
Of course. But meantime, they said they want to go to Bruno's. They
okay,
love the
Bruno's.
Food there.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother looks at me and says they want to go to Bruno's. So we go to Bruno's on Cross Bay Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have many friends on Cross Bay Boulevard
no,
in Howard Beach.
No, that's like prime...
Right.
Yeah.
I was surprised the mother hadn't even thought of that. Like, gee,
maybe she did think of that. That's
yeah,
the point.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
a quick
come
way.
On, Curtis.
It's a life insurance policy. Boy, millions of dollars could be made. But anyway, the point is, we go to Bruno's and we're waiting in queue. It's a very popular restaurant, very good food. And the owner, the old codger there, the old knuckle dragger, Bruno, walks up to me and he says, I got a standing rule in my restaurant, buddy. Nobody wears a hat, a beret, whatever you call that thing on your head.
All right. Well, okay. Let me just play devil's advocate. If that's true, then he doesn't make exceptions. You know, if somebody comes in wearing a MAGA hat, they're not going to be allowed to come in unless they take the hat off. Somebody wears an Obama hat.
Where was that? Howard Beach voted for Donald Trump.
So he would let these guys in. Well, you need to find that out.
I understand that, but you had to make a decision
okay.
at that moment. My two sons are
there. They're watching their father, and they need to. This is a life lesson that they are about to learn
right,
from you.
Right. We tweeted it out at Curtis and Cosby. It's also on the Curtis and Cosby Facebook page. We ask you, what do you think I did? Now, remember, I only take my beret off my head for two things. The Pledge of Allegiance mm-hmm. and the National Anthem.
Yes.
Not for God Bless America, not for America the Beautiful, not even when I'm forced to go to church or awake. No, the hat stays on. Overnight, you know, when I'm sleeping mm-hmm. and the other things that I'm doing, I'm wearing the beret.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Bull.
I never take the beret off,
you
except
do not,
on two occasions.
You wait, so you're saying that when you...
When I have
you
the
keep
urge
it
to
on?
Merge. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. This,
hey,
how does she stay... How... She must be just...
Hey, look, it's part of being Curtis Sliwa. You know, it comes with the territory. You got to get used to the beret.
Pardon the pun, yeah.
All right, so what do you think I did as Bruno is standing in my way? He's a little short. I could have squashed this guy.
Does he have, how old is he?
Oh, he's got to be like maybe 75.
Oh, all right.
75. So he's standing there blocking my way.
Bruno.
My two kids are going, I want to go to Bruno's.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I did, ladies and gentlemen? 1-800-848-WABC. That's nobody does. 1-800-848-9222, except Bruno and a few of his patrons.
Okay, so what are our options? What are the options?
Well, the options
potential
are,
things that you could have done.
That I took my beret off.
Okay.
And we had a meal at Bruno's on Cross Bay Boulevard in Howard Beach, where so many people hate me. Or I said, F you and your restaurant, too. And we went to Lenny's Clam Bar across the street where they're all blacks and Hispanics, which I would have felt more comfortable at. Or New Park Pizzeria, where I got a pie and said, kids, gouge yourself.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to say you went, you didn't stay.
All right. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's first, though, go to Bob, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here, substituting for Rita Cosby.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing? All right, I want to get to my point, but as far as your beret thing, Curtis, If you ever saw the movie Donnie Brasco, they asked him to take off his boots, and he wouldn't take off the boots because he was wearing a wire. So maybe they thought you had a wire under the beret.
Oh, maybe.
That is
very that would be
good,
ingenious of you to come up with that,
that's
actually.
That's right. I mean, if
I would, I would never take off the beret. I say, my money is green, and
yeah.
I want my money. So if you want my money, you leave the beret.
All right.
I thought there was a wire.
Okay. You vote. Tabulate this vote. Christian, make yourself useful. Bob has another point to make, but tabulate Bob in the column that says, I didn't take my freaking beret off.
But now, things are getting so vicious these days with, you know, the MAGA hats and this. I have a friend who got kicked out of a place in Rockville Center because he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. It's just like, proprietors are just saying, you know what, I'm not even going to deal with it, no hats, yep. Period.
Well, 56% of the folks so far are saying that I said, F you to your restaurant too, and I walked out with my two sons.
But the other thing is, you're a very, very, interestingly, you're a very amenable person. He never really, I've never seen him freak out about anything. So maybe you just, because your kids were there, you're like, look, I'm just going to keep it cool.
We got a lot of callers here. Apparently, Bruno's a very popular guy here. Let's go to Vinny, Vincenz in Rockville. Away. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Vincenz.
Hello, Curtis and Juliet. I've been listening for years. So, look, I grew up with Bruno. I know him since I'm 15 years old. Mm-hmm. I went in there 3 years ago with my Yankee hat on, and he told me to take my hat off. Don't feel so personal about it.
Yeah, don't be so sensitive.
Wait, now, Vinny.
And the guy's 67, maybe 68.
Oh, right? God. Well.
I can understand him telling somebody to take a New York Met hat off because, you know, that's low budget. It's bad for the clientele.
Well, maybe he, you know, I mean, not but everybody thinks the Guardian Angels are high budget.
I know,
so.
But a New York Yankee hat, that's like premium. That's like platinum. It's
like, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I never went back.
Oh, really?
Yep, and I never will because he told me to take off my Yankee hat.
But if he does it for everybody and he's just, I mean, I guess I'm curious as to why that is. You know, what is the motivation here?
It's old school, old school.
I don't know, okay, well then, when I was 17, we had 10th row center seats to see the Stones in Philadelphia at the old Spectrum. And he was sitting a chair away from, you know what I mean?
Yep. No, but also that's very Vincenz, that's very old school.
Yeah.
Old-timers who have those old-school ways.
Well, he's
would
not
tell
that old-timer if he's 67 years old.
Yeah, but, you know, what am I to say? I'm 64. Yeah, the guy looked a little older, but Vinny...
Yeah, he does look old because he smokes. That's the problem.
If that's the house rules, then those are the house rules. I can understand. You're
right.
Not going to make an exception for anybody, except, come on, Vinny, you mean to tell me if... one of the many mobsters choking on their lobsters walked in his place. Bruno's there. And they're on both sides of Cross Bay Boulevard, and they were wearing a fedora. He would make them take the hat off?
No way.
Okay.
All right,
now that should be a clue to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. That should be a clue. 1-800-848-WABC. What did I do?
Wow, what did you do?
1-800-848-9222. So there was tension there, Juliet Huddy. Mm-hmm. As Bruno told me, you can't come into this restaurant wearing that beret, hats off.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the customers was sitting at the bar. He looked at me and said, hey, I know your cousin Joey G, the Cheech from Howard Beach. Let me ask you a question, Curtis. Were you born with that beret on your head? I said, no. Were you baptized in that beret? No. Were you confirmed in that beret? No. Well, take the freaking beret off. You're going to make your sons cry here.
So you did.
I took my beret off.
Holy moly.
I didn't want to have to deal with my cousin Joey G, the Cheech from Howard Beach. We would have been fighting at Cross Bay Boulevard.
How great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text LEADER to 85850. That's LEADER to 85850.
NJDiet.com Studios, 77 WABC, New York, a Cumulus Station News Now.
49 degrees and cloudy, I'm Rob Dawson with the stories you'll be talking about on 77 WABC. New Jersey is trying to show they won't make the same mistake again when it comes to winter weather. Governor Murphy this weekend ordered roads to be salted and sanded and more disabled vehicles response teams deployed ahead of two minor storms. These residents are happy the governor is being aggressive.
He's taking the right precautions.
Where were they at Thursday afternoon when it took me 9 hours and 20 minutes to get home?
The governor has admitted the state could have done better in that storm. There are around 1,000 accidents and a number of stranded drivers in last Thursday's storms. A homeless woman is expected to be arraigned on kidnapping charges after allegedly stealing a car with a toddler in the back seat.
Police say Andrea Arenault spotted the car with its engine running outside an East New York gas station Sunday afternoon, and the mom, who'd gone inside to buy food and decided to help herself to a ride.
A female jumps into the car, speeds off, winds up crashing the car.
Chief of Detectives Dermot Shea says the 52-year-old woman, described as emotionally disturbed, hit a bicyclist and three parked cars a block away. A passerby held her down until police arrived. The two-year-old girl wasn't hurt. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler for 77 WABC News.
Rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine is under arrest on racketeering and firearms charges and is set to be arraigned in Manhattan federal court. The 22-year-old rapper, whose real name is Daniel Hernandez,
as we're Hyattop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us by NJDiet.com. Under orders of Governor Murphy, we have been brined into the studio here. God forbid there be any inclement weather. I still, for the life of me, cannot understand why it is he would have ordered the Department of Transportation to brine the roadways.
Again, killing deer, feeding the homeless, getting everybody drunk. We discussed this at 12:30.
That is not Rita Cosby. That is Juliet Huddy. The reason that Juliet was so nice to do double duty today, because she is the newscaster for the two boys in the morning, Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg, is that Rita Cosby, who was celebrating her birthday yesterday with Mickey Mouse, was seen hanging from the chandeliers in the wee hours of the morning, apparently was not feeling well this morning. And as a result, lickety split, Juliet Huddy was at the ready.
Well, I mean, I was just sitting, I was 5 feet away.
I had to build it up. You know, this is melodrama.
But I mean,
melodramatic,
yeah.
Like everything in California.
No, it's always fun to be with you. It just brings me back to our days at the old station.
That's right.
4:30 in the morning.
Good day, early call, New York, the wee hours of the morning. It's almost like we were a married couple back then.
Yes, we fought all the time.
All the time.
And I couldn't stand to see your face.
Exactly. Yeah. Nor could I yours. Yeah. It was like ammonia in bleach. But anyway. The reason why it helps having you on today is you spent a lot of time in Cali, California.
Yeah.
Which has been at the epicenter of people's thoughts, prayers, considerations, and for the president, his criticisms. But before we get into what the president had to say about firefighting, he gave himself a rating yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like something I always wanted to do in school, you know, mark myself.
And there are some schools that allow you to do that. And interestingly, they're out in California. They're like the hippy-dippy schools.
It was like yesterday when I'm sitting there with my two sons, Carter and Hunter. They had just gotten their report cards on Friday.
Uh-huh.
So they were telling me at Bruno's, you know, this is what I got, a 4 or 3. You know, some were good, some weren't that good. They had to work on it. But, you know, it almost brought me back to when I was a kid and saying, you know, I used to take the white out. I used to try to finagle with the report card so my parents wouldn't
That's
see.
What I'm saying. Like, you were at dinner having a nice conversation about report cards. I mean, that was I literally would go into nervous breakdown mode every time the report cards were coming out.
My dad was
like a lunatic.
Right. Right.
Oh,
and so
horrible.
You would do anything to intercept the report card before your parent or parents could
see it. Oh, it never, ever happened. My dad was on it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, because they knew.
And he also knew if I was trying to lie or scam, I'd be doing that.
Now, wouldn't you have loved Juliet Huddy to give yourself a grade? You know, you give yourself a report
card.
Yes,
and I would have been very honest. I would have B+ across the board.
Oh,
I wouldn't do an A. I mean, because that's a little... That's pushing it.
You know, that's real bull feathers. B+. I get you. What do you mean B+?
No, if I was giving myself my own grade.
I understand, but it's almost an A. That's pretty damn good.
No, I know. Well, I'm not. Yeah, but why would I give myself anything less if I'm giving myself a grade?
Okay, so you're in tune with the president on this. In fact, listen to.
Not really.
Well, somewhat. B+ is pretty close to A+.
I would give myself. I would. Look, I hate to do it, but I will do it.
I would give myself an A plus. Is that enough? Can I go higher than that?
Well, I mean, wait, Chris Wallace asking him that question. What did he think the president was going to say? Of all people, of course, President Trump was going to say A plus.
How do you go higher than that? A plus plus? You know,
he's joking around a little bit, obviously.
I don't think this president is joking around. Well,
actually, you're right. A plus plus. You can do that. I had that in school.
He thinks of himself. He thinks this George Washington. Mm-hmm. All right. He's not going to put himself ahead of George Washington.
I don't know about that.
And then there's Abraham Lincoln. But other than that, I think he considers himself maybe the third best president of all time. And given another term,
I think he considers himself the first best. He said that he's the best president.
Well, can I hear that one more time? Let me hear if there's any sort of jocular nature in his voice, please.
I hate to do it, but I will do it. I would give myself an A plus. Is that enough? Can I go higher than that?
Who was laughing? Was he laughing or was it Wallace? Because you kind of heard.
No, it was Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace.
Yeah, because he knew the answer to the question.
Let's find out from all many listeners.
This is the thing that Trump fans like about him. They like this kind of. This is his charm.
I understand, but I thought anybody would say I really am not in the position to grade myself. You know, let others grade me. I'll just continue to do the job to the best of my ability. You think, but that doesn't grab a headline.
Well, I mean, I told people that follow me on Twitter that they could call in and yell at me, and I'm sure that they will.
Who are the twits that follow you on Twitter?
Well, there are a lot of people that followed me from the Fox days, and I get lots of messages saying, you know, you've really let us down, you've changed. And I'm like, I haven't actually changed. It's not that. First of all, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I'm very much in the middle. But it's just so strange to me that so many Trump supporters think that if you don't support him, then you're a liberal. And that doesn't, no sense.
I think there's a difference here because they know that Trump really liked you as a broadcaster when you were on Fox News and Friends.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning show. Let's face it, that's what Trump would derive most of his information from.
And I've said he was wonderful. We went out to lunch. I mean, he was always very supportive with my career.
He tried to swap spit with
you
one time.
He did, but you know, but he wasn't married at the time.
I understood.
But the thing is that when I turned on him, I actually supported him for president. I didn't vote for him, but I did say, you know what, give this guy a chance. But when he said to me or to the public, when he started questioning you know, the accusers of Bill O'Reilly, that's when I turned on him because I said, this guy, he knows me.
Okay.
And he knows Bill O'Reilly,
all right,
too.
So you've had a very good relationship with him, and now it's soured.
Yeah.
Many people believe that I've been so prejudiced against him, I'm going to have to recuse myself, giving him a grade. So what grade would you give the president to this point?
You can't ask me this question because, well, actually, you can. I mean, I think I made it pretty clear.
Well, there's good things he's done, there's bad things he's done.
I have a real problem. Somebody actually tweeted me yesterday and said, tell me what he's done adversely to affect your life. And I said, I'll be on Twitter for the rest of my life saying the things that I think he's...
Okay, all right. So give me a grade.
I would give him a D-.
D-?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, what grade level would you give the president of the United States to date in office? 1-800-848-WABC.
And I'm a believer that you cannot judge a president's term when you're talking about the economy. You have to see how things play out after his term is over and see how things, you know, take time. They take time to sort of kick into gear.
I mean,
I would probably go lower, but I don't want to, you know, have
even
myself.
Even though I recused myself, I wouldn't give him a D-.
Tarred and feathered. There are a lot of things that he has said, and there are a lot of things that he's done that I think just immediately take him out of the running.
All right. Maybe one of those things was his observations. His observations about California and the wildfires that had consumed so much of the state, caused so much death, destruction. There are still people missing. There are still fires being fought. They're hoping for rainfall in the north in the next few days that may stop some of the fires from encroaching on areas that are habitated.
Mm-hmm.
In the south, not so much. The winds are still up. It's still kicking those embers.
It's like 65% contained up there, but you never know what's going to happen.
But the president was talking about the Finns. You know, how the Finns fight fires because, let's face it, if you've been to Finland, you notice one thing they have is a lot of trees.
You look at other countries where they do it differently, and it's a whole different story.
I was with the president of Finland, and he said, we have a much different, we're a forest nation. He called it a forest nation. And they spend a lot of time on raking and cleaning and doing things, and they don't have any problem. And when it is, it's a very small problem. So I know everybody's looking at that, to that end.
Okay. So he based his conclusion on a conversation with the president of Finland.
That the president of Finland doesn't recall.
Yeah, the Finnish president denies ever discussing raking with Trump.
Well, you know, but one thing about the president that I can respect is that he, I don't necessarily like how it's articulated, but the fact that he does it, I mean, he will riff and riff and riff, and that's not an easy thing to do. So he's going to throw things out there that may not be, I mean, he said pleasure instead of paradise. I mean, you could understand, okay, it's an easy mistake to make. I mean,
maybe
it really is.
Maybe
he's got a lot of things on his mind, obviously.
Maybe it was the Norwegians he was referring to, or the Swedes, who knows?
The point is that everybody went, okay, it's an easy mistake to make.
But
it's just... You know, he does throw out a lot of facts out there, but the problem is that a lot of these things aren't actual facts. He's recalling things differently, and that's where I think he gets himself into trouble because people accuse him of lying.
Right,
I don't think he necessarily lies as much as people think he does.
You would ask him, well, the Finnish president said you didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say the Finnish president is lying.
Yes, probably.
I mean, what purpose does the Finnish president have to lie?
I guess I'm sure we're going to have people calling in who support the president.
Right.
And because I want to hear from them. We always go back and forth on Twitter.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I'll explain in a moment why they rake in a fire area what appear to be debris, leaves, twigs.
You're so all-knowing. It's like you know about brining, you know about the raking.
Well,
God, what don't you know,
it's
Curtis?
Because you actually ask questions when you see people doing things that don't make sense to a city boy from New York City.
Or you go Google.
Right, and you also have Guardian Angels in California who are firefighters up in Redding and Shasta County and Sutter and Sacramento, and you ask them, why do you rake around these places? You know what they tell you? Because there are embers that are still there. Now, they're out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
But a wind comes by, the embers will start jumping from tree to tree, and then all of a sudden, where you thought you had extinguished the fire just regenerates itself and becomes a raging inferno.
Curtis, I was doing live shots for Fox. We were on one side of a valley. We had our satellite truck and everything. We're all hooked up. I was doing live shots. All of a sudden, I hear... There was a fire raging across the valley. The next thing I know, it's right there.
Yep.
It literally blew up right next to us. We tore out of there. I think we left equipment. I mean, it was crazy how fast.
Now, you've lived in California. There's been a drought there for 8 years.
That's why everybody loves California. There's never any rain.
I know,
that's the problem. There's never any rain.
It's dry, and when it's dry, fires will spread incredibly quick. But let's go to the phones. It's Scott first up in the queue in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here, substituting for Rita Cosby at WABC. Scotty.
Yes. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. What grade do you give the president, Scott?
I give him a solid F.
A solid F?
Wait,
Scott, no,
man after
Scott.
My own heart.
Now, you know I'm a critic of the president, but there is a booming economy. People, particularly in the poor and impoverished areas, are actually getting employed. Wages are going up.
So you credit the president for a booming economy because there's a lot of stuff that could happen down the road where all of a sudden,
that's true, but for right now, we're grading him. Scott, why would you give him the worst possible mark, an F?
Well, I mean, it's not just an F, it's a solid F. If I could go lower, I would, just to see if he would go higher if he could. There's just so many different things to point out, but for this conversation, let's just talk about the wildfires, where, like, while the California was burning and the fire wasn't even, like, 5% contained, he was already pointing fingers and blaming, you know, the state of California when so many of those facts were just complete fabrication.
Yeah, right, the federal government, you know, has the majority of control over
that. That was bad. Even his kumbari cheech, Lindsey Graham, said, Mr. President, this is not the time.
Lindsey Graham's kind of like veering away from him.
Some
other things, too.
I saw very few people supporting him on this raking of the leaves. And, you know, it's California's forestry management problem. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Joanne who's calling from Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Joanne?
Hello.
Hello.
I give President Trump a solid B, and I'll tell you really simple why. I'm a hairdresser in a high-end salon. I almost lost my house during Obama, and because we weren't making money, people weren't spending the money. And now I'm back to being middle class, and I'm making a living. My clients are able to spend, and I see a sense of pride in the area I live in because we're all working, and we're all, you know, proud of our military and all this positive stuff. I just wish he'd stop tweeting.
Right. So that's why you gave him a B, because there are some. Okay, that's a fair assessment.
Completely fair. I, you know, well, go ahead.
He talks like a lot of the people I know. He talks somewhat stupid, but he's not stupid.
Now
he
hold
just
on
doesn't
a second.
Present himself well.
I hope you don't mind, Joanne, if we use this as a drop from now on. He talks stupid, but he's not stupid. I
know
like
what
that.
She's trying
he
to say.
Talk, he doesn't speak as well as, like, say Obama, say other people who are, I call them the talking heads, who can speak very well.
Well, Joanne,
but
that's.
I think he's really smart.
That's why his most dangerous potential adversary would be Joe Biden, who speaks stupid too.
Oh,
oh Lord.
But makes a lot of sense to a lot of working class people. So, can you imagine two guys who speak stupid but have an attraction to the same voting base? Because a lot of the people that broke for Trump would have probably voted for Uncle Joe Biden instead of Trump. They had voted for Obama previously. Those were Obama voters who wouldn't vote for Hillary under any circumstance, and they liked Trump's message. There's
guess,
no doubt about
I
it.
I guess I just go for – I just sort of look at a president and rating a president as far as – his character and integrity goes. And now, to me, he's a failure.
Now, you know what tips me off that Joe Biden will run for the Democratic nomination?
Mm-hmm.
He just adopted a dog from a shelter.
This is your...
Well, remember, Trump has no pets in the White House.
Well, okay, but I mean, you think he's going to get the adoption, pet adoption vote?
Watch, the dog will be with Joe now wherever he goes.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
a
by the way,
dog.
You hear about Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, giving a huge donation to his alma mater, Johns Hopkins. The biggest donation to a university. To help with financial aid for poor kids.
I understand.
I mean, you don't think that's...
He's got no shot. Always pretending to run.
I don't know about that.
He should do it. He won't get the Democratic nomination no matter how many billions he spends. 1-800-848-WABC. Juliet, the president has given himself an A+, said if he could grade himself higher at this point in his presidency, he would. To the phones we go. It's Jen in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Jen?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Jen.
A solid incomplete for Trump, but I heard that he has a new campaign hat.
Yeah?
Trump's new campaign hat is Make America Rake Again.
Okay. I said on Twitter yesterday, Rake America Great Again.
Ooh.
And I don't know. We might have to battle over that. I think somebody else came up with it. I kind of stole it.
Pretty good to me.
Now, Juliet, because you spent so much time in California and you know how many illegal aliens there are there doing day labor every morning before sunshine comes.
Yes.
You know it's going to be doing all the raking that the president wants everybody to do in the forests and the surrounding forest areas. You know it's going to be the illegals who are going to get hired to do the raking.
Probably, yeah. I mean, they wait on the side of the road, and people come and pick them up, and then,
did the president ever factor that in?
Potentially.
You think Americans are going to do that work? Just raking when there's no fires? I mean, obviously, firefighters rake when there's a fire.
Maybe it'll be a prison thing. Maybe they'll bring the prisoners
no,
up.
You don't want them out of San Quentin and Folsom, please.
You put enough chains on them and keep them down.
Not going to happen. It's going to be the illegals. Let's go to Lori in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Lori?
Hi. Yes, I would give Trump a solid B. I think, like, a lot of things that he can't do is really because even the Republicans never backed him, you know, and that's why, like, a lot of stuff couldn't get done because he never had any backing. And some of the things I would take off, it's funny that you said it about the animals because I have 6 cats and I think he should have some pets in the White House. And I also think for different things, like with elephants and things like that, he should be more aware and he should do more to protect animals.
Yeah, well, you know what just happened on Friday, unfortunately, the House, which will become Democrat in January when it turns over, the Republicans forced through the bill that will now allow you to go kill bears and the wolves.
I don't like that.
And unfortunately, Trump is not a hunter. He doesn't believe in killing animals. But he said so. But his two sons will be the first in line to get the license to go kill the bears and the wolves.
Like disown those sons, you know?
Well, you can imagine. Up in the helicopter will be the former governor of Alaska. I can see Russia out my kitchen window.
She could spot the bears.
Well, she used to shoot wolves and bears from helicopters, and you can see she'll be joined by the president's two sons, who haven't seen a big game animal they don't want to shoot and mount.
Well, hopefully Kimberly Guilfoyle is changing. At least Donald Trump Jr. Maybe she's reining him in there.
Yeah, just keeping him busy.
Well, God love her.
Meantime,
God love
right
my
now,
KG.
Let's get our news and headlines.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Oh, how many times have I had to listen to this? Because Juliet Huddy substituting for Rita Cosby today. It was her birthday yesterday, along with Mickey Mouse. And apparently, Rita was last seen hanging from a chandelier.
Now, do you really think she would be chandeliering it, or would she be on top of the bar? See, I used to go out with Rita back in the day at Fox News, and we were for
Oh, so wild and crazy, right?
I don't know. You know, ply me with a few drinks, and maybe I'll tell you.
I see. Very good. But she was down. She wasn't feeling well this morning, so Juliet was kind enough to substitute. And this is an area that your family has experience with.
Yeah.
Bill Maher, the Weisenheimer from New Jersey, decided, of all people to pick on, because, this is what he is, a bomb thrower.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Guy who grew up in a tenement in Washington Heights. You know the story. He created Spider-Man, the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Incredible Hulk. And the latest tremendous box office smash, Black Panther, based on that comic book. I mean, the guy is just Mr. Comic Book.
He's loved by everybody.
But he passed away
for Bill
Maher. In his 90s.
Yeah.
And people just had a lot of joy reading his comics over the years. You know,
so surprising people that you would see posting things on Twitter, that you would never expect to think this guy's obsessed or this girl was obsessed with comic books.
Right. Now, when I was growing up, I really wasn't into comic books. It was mostly the geeks, the dweebs, the nerds, the brainiacs.
The smart people actually were very, so that makes sense.
Avid readers, people who like to read.
Yeah.
And so they would, they get a quarter, they buy a comic, Marvel comic, action comic.
They wouldn't be buying the candy, they'd be buying, they would be saving up for their comics.
Right. 100%. So they would not only trade them, but house them if they felt, because at that point you didn't think they'd have any value.
And a lot of these
you
people,
would collect them.
And a lot of these kids were, when they were kids, they were maybe a little bit different from the rest of the kids. They weren't necessarily all playing sports, stuff like that. And so they were, a lot of them were picked on. A lot of them were picked on, for being weird.
That's right.
And, they're the most creative ones today. Probably the most thoughtful, sensitive, and intelligent ones today.
Right.
And probably running
back then, you
companies.
Didn't have a Comic-Con. Nobody would wear a Superman costume or a Batman costume. Except on Halloween, then you could exemplify the superhero you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, Bill Maher extrapolated from the death of Stan Lee. He somehow tied into the effect that Stan Lee, who created all these great comics that eventually became these blockbuster movies, is responsible for the dumbing down of America. That the reason that adult Americans no longer will go out and purchase a book or read a book is because they were weaned on comics. And they can't wait for the next blockbuster movie to come out about the comics that they grew up with. And that as a result, their brains have become numb. And it gave them a propensity to vote for people like Donald Trump.
Yeah,
instead of a Democratic adversary, obviously, whether it was a Barack Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Joe Biden, whatever. And I'm saying to myself, where the hell did he come up with this?
Well, so here's the deal. So my brother-in-law is an actual comic book artist and one of the best writers I've ever read before. He is a Bill Maher fan, and obviously he was a Stan Lee fan. So I said, this must be very conflicting for this man. So his name is Ron Joseph, the indestructible Ron Joseph on Twitter. But I mean, he's a fantastic artist. And I said, this has got to be killing you. And he was basically like, you know, this is the bottom line here. This is entertainment, you guys, when you're watching Hannity, when you're watching Bill Maher, when you're, these guys are entertainers. They're out there to entertain. He, and Ron made a great point. He was saying Bill's intent was to slam Trump, and he has absolutely no idea about the actual, you know, the, about what the comic world is all about. He's kind of showing his ignorance to that. And Ron made a great point. He said, people who love comics and believe in the stories and the hero kind of thing, they are the ones that go above and beyond to fight the good fight, to stand up to evil. You know, they're the ones to help the little guy. They're the ones that got beaten up when they were growing up. They were the ones that were told that they were idiots or weirdos. And they're the ones that understand what that's like to be on that end. So they would fight the bad guys and, per se, fight the Trump type people. So he said he's actually wrong about that.
Well, whose side are you on, ladies and gentlemen? Are you on the side of Bill Maher, who blames everyone who voted for Trump as having been weaned on comics that were written by Stan Lee?
Or do you think that Trump is the stereotypical comic book villain, as Ron Joseph,
you know,
the indestructible Ron
Trump
Joseph?
Trump himself, in the many times I've listened to him, has never made comic book references.
No.
And
it doesn't seem like he would be the type to read comic books or even know that there are comic books out there. I
mean, and my sons,
busy making money.
They love Spider-Man simply because the lead character, Peter Parker, lives in Forest Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And they live there in Forest Hills. So they fancy themselves as Spider-Man. That's a Democratic household. You can't even mention Trump in that household. I don't see the connection. And I was at anime yesterday, not because I was at the Japanese cartoon show at Jacob Javits
Center.
And
they're really into, I mean, that is like a whole thing.
Right.
You talk about people getting dressed up.
Right,
and living that world.
I was there with my wife Nancy and my oldest son, Anthony. We were going to PetCon, which was next door. But these young people, mostly young, some older, were reading these giant comics that were like the size of Encyclopedia Britannica, like the size of War and Peace. You know, the Japanese, they love to do these, like, epic comics that, you know, go on and on.
This is a whole world. This is a whole underground world. Not even underground world.
You get a double hernia from lifting those comic books.
Yeah, it's not like they're like the little, you know, the Archie comic things anymore.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Can I just say one thing?
And
Ron pointed this out.
Of course,
the
Julia.
Indestructible Ron just... The irony of the whole thing is that Bill Maher didn't have enough contempt for the comic book industry to keep him from accepting a role in Iron Man 3. Boom. Done.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a hypocrite. Like all the people that were attacking Amazon.
Hypocrite.
So, like, all the people that were attacking Amazon coming into Long Island City,
yes,
we found out that many of them actually use Amazon to get their products delivered.
Or will be applying to Amazon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Patrick in Queens. Welcome to WABC, Patrick.
How you doing, Curtis? Rita, how are you? I think Bill Maher is a moron because most of the people that read comic books, if you read them as a kid, the vocabulary is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And it got people to read books when they were older, like me. I mean, I'm 53 years old. I started reading comics in the 70s, and I started reading books right after I started reading comic books.
All right, but now, according to Bill Maher, because you were weaned on comics, you immediately lockstep for Donald Trump. You voted for Donald Trump.
As a matter of fact, I did, but I voted for Donald Trump because I was a cop for 24 years, and the Democratic Party has got a long way to go before they get the trust of law enforcement in this country.
And you seem like an educated man. You seem like a thoughtful man. And
yes.
Yeah, so none of this goes along with that.
And Patrick, it seems by your self-description that you did not fit the stereotype that I created, that when you were young, you were a geek, a dweeb, or a nerd reading comic books.
Well, I did it. You know, you got past it, you know.
Oh, okay. All right, so you were in that category, and then you went on.
I kind of was, but, you know, I was also a clown, so I made the football.
Oh, did we lose you?
I think we lost.
Oh, that's
the moment
that's
he said he was
but, you
a
know,
clown.
But he became a police officer again. You know, protecting the little guy.
I know, but I wanted to hear that.
I know. It's a clown.
You know, I have these things. I have these certain stereotypes about clowns, too.
Oh, yeah. Like murderers and
anyway,
child.
Let's go to Bobby, who's calling from East Meadow. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here today on WABC. Bobby.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
I know Rita's not around, so hi, Julie. How you doing?
Hello.
Thanks for coming on. We love to hear you, always.
Thank you.
So, I became a cop, too, and I'm still on the job. And I think that's the reason why I became a cop is because I helped people and I did things when I was younger, but I never read comics or anything. I was a street guy. And I always did the right things for people that were, people that would get weak, the weak people. I always protected them and I always did the right thing for people. And you know what? If I had to fight the fight, I fought the fight. And if I had to fight 10 guys, I had to fight 10 guys. But I think that I never read any comics or anything like that. I don't think.
All right. How many guys that you locked up, right, in the many years that you busted your shoes would tell you, hey, can I get a comic book charge? Most of them couldn't even read, Bobby.
Yeah, they can't read. They don't even want to read. They're not reading. They don't care about comics. They don't even know what it is, comic book.
Right. Well, remember, there you go.
The
there
introduction,
you go.
And again, this is where Bill Maher is a dollar short and a day late. The introduction for a lot of us is when our parents would get, like, the Sunday Daily News or another Sunday newspaper in their area, and it was draped in the comics.
Yeah, the comics
were on the outside.
You know what? My mother put Dennis the Menace on in front of me. That's what I read.
Yeah.
I grew up in Miami, Florida, and we had a show. It was on Sunday called The Sunday Funnies, and they would have little kids come on, and, you could read. And I was stuck with some lame, like, Kathy or something like that. I was like, what?
Kathy.
I know. I was like, this is like for 50-year-olds, and I'm 4. But yeah,
Kathy's a big liberal in that office anyway.
Oh, that little tramp!
Tramp!
I know nothing about Kathy.
Trolley tramp. But anyway, I would take the Play-Doh and put on the comics, comics. And then pull it in different directions to make weird looking.
Yeah, so you make like Dennis the Menace look like he's an alien,
right?
Yeah.
But that's about all I had in terms of a use for comics.
Well, it's kind of like the metal community. I have to say, the heavy metal community has this bad rap of being a bunch of weirdos, but a lot of them are very, very bright people. You know, very excellent musicians.
Could have fooled
them. Watch it, buddy.
I've seen these heavy metal.
Watch it.
Oh, that's right, your husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's one of those heavy metal freaks.
I would not say he's a freak.
Is he a Satan worshiper?
Oh, every night. Every night.
I figures.
Yes.
A heavy
metal. Instagram and everything.
Anyway,
no, he does have a devil tattoo. Well,
let's go to Eric, who's calling from Mawa. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Eric?
Great show as always, guys. Great topic. Listen, I grew up and I was drafted back in the day. And my big thing was Spider-Man. I still have the first issue I ever bought. It was like 8 cents and a few other comics. But I got into martial arts. I got drafted. I fought for my country, And what's his business? Bill Maher, he's an idiot to begin with. So because I voted for Trump, it makes me a mindless idiot?
No, see, I hate it when either side does that. It makes me nuts. Because you can't just qualify everybody in one certain group.
I will tell
Eric.
There is a pretentious group of people out there who feel the only thing you should be reading are books. So if you read matchbook covers like I read or comics, right, any kind of comics, they immediately, you're low budget in their eyes because.
No, that's not true. I'm a voracious reader and I don't look down on people who read comics.
Well, yeah, but you're always reading your horoscope.
No, I don't. No, I do not. I read stuff about royalty, European royalty, and the European monarchy.
I would burn
European history.
That's all propaganda.
You would. No, it's not. I'm not talking about current day. I'm talking about history.
Yeah, like, off with your head,
Louis the 14th. Yes,
he had a very novel idea how to get rid of a wife.
I know. Just change religion.
Just chop her head off. That's right. And when the Pope said you can't do that, he said yes, I can because I'm forming the Anglican Church.
That's it. And just reading about him lends me credibility when I say that I'm not a big religion person.
1-800-848-WABC. Juliet Huddy, after the show today, later on, I'll be looking at a first draft of a Guardian Angel comic.
Oh.
So if it meets specifications, it may be available 2019.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Meantime, there's Christian going, oh, man, can I get a free copy? Can
I get a free copy? That's awesome.
What a moocher. What a moocher. Anyway, let's go to Danny, who's calling from Brooklyn. I'll let everybody know how they can get a copy when it's available. Let's go to Danny in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Danny? Yeah.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Juliet.
Hi.
Listen, Curtis, I never collected or owned any comics, but this was the 1950s, and we went to Catholic school, and we had to get a haircut at least once a month. And up on the avenue, Sal the Barbershop had stacks and stacks of comics. And that's where we read comics, waiting to get a haircut.
So you didn't read Look magazine or the Saturday Evening Post or even the men's gentlemen's magazines, as they used to call it?
What? I was 10 years old, Curtis. Come on.
No, I know that. But hey, I tried to get those.
But listen, I'll tell you what would have made Bill Maher's head explode. Nobody seems to remember these comics that we used to read. It was not that long after World War II. And our favorite comics were G.I. Joe, who was a comic before he was a doll.
Right.
And Sergeant Rock of Easy Company.
That's right. Sergeant Rock and the Howling Commandos.
Easy Company, yeah. They had
Curtis.
They had bandoliers across their chests and machine guns, and they were fighting the Germans, and it was Bill Maher's head would explode.
No, one correction, Danny. They didn't call them Germans. They called them Krauts.
Exactly. The Heinies.
Right, exactly. So you couldn't do that nowadays.
God, no.
Back then, you're absolutely right, Danny. But you see, Bill Maher insists, ladies and gentlemen, now, I don't know what kind of Maui Waui Hindu Kush he was
smoking. That's what my brother-in-law was saying.
But he's blaming Stan Lee with all of his comic book creations that became these super spectacular box office smashes at the movies.
He wanted to get press. Everybody was talking about Stan Lee, and he knew if he said something,
for dumbing down America, and that comic book readers were the ones that elected Trump president of the United States.
Well,
comic book readers. I don't know.
Shame
on him. Where
did
he get the analytics of that?
He's making stuff up. He knows he's feeding his base. It's all the Trump haters.
That's right. So we make stuff up as we go along.
Yeah, apparently.
Poor Stanley. Poor Stanley.
He's a bitch.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're going to chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
About a 7 minutes after the hour or two, as we've been hermetically sealed in by the brining done by Governor Murphy in advance of a snowstorm he somehow imagines is going to hit New Jersey tomorrow. All the weather forecasts.
How
I was
much
listening,
is that going
to
cost?
Was listening to you earlier this morning, Juliet Huddy, substituting for Rita Cosby, who was celebrating her birthday last night and apparently was hanging from some chandeliers.
Dancing on a bar, we don't know.
Hogs and Heifers, right?
Is that even still around?
No.
Now, I don't see her in Hogs and Heifers. Rita's got way more class than that. I see her in, like, maybe Omar at Vaucluse or whatever it's called.
Oh, yes. But remember,
it
was Hogs and Heifers that was open for you gals that would entice you to get them up on the bar and dance in the meatpacking district.
Yeah, and then take your bra off. Right.
Right? That caused Michael Buttigieg at the time, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, to impose the no dancing laws, remember, in bars and in gin mills.
That was kind of lame.
The cabaret laws,
as they were called. That was ridiculous.
Which have just recently been repealed.
Thank you. God.
But it was because of the likes of you and Rita Cosby and your tribe.
First of all, I didn't stand on any bars. I never took my bra off. And
come on,
that was
never
weird.
Took
I just
your bra
I literally off? Said that as Matt Dahl was walking by and stared straight at me.
I understand that because you don't wear a bra. So
no, I wear a bra. I have to wear a bra, and I would not walk around without one. But
What do you mean you have to wear a bra? Nobody has to wear a bra.
Yeah, you kind of do when you're a certain age. And
there are SAG.
Okay, no, that's not what I said.
Well,
Let's just talk.
Is it, I mean, isn't that what happens? You know, it's sex.
Well, not with mine.
Oh, okay.
I had help with that, but.
Oh, I see. Oh, reconstructive surgery.
Yeah, you know,
huh?
A little bit.
Repositioning.
A little nip, a little tuck.
I see. So it salutes you instead of sort of dive bombs.
Well, sadly, that was
ground.
About 10 years ago, so it's not really doing saluting anymore.
I see. All right, okay.
You know,
all right. So we've got past that.
Yeah.
But now. As we are in the studios provided to us by NJDiet.com, this is a story that you're an expert on.
I have done a lot of research on this story.
Yes, a lot of research. I have actually seen her at work as she peruses through a crowd and tried at the time before she was married to periscope up and hunt down guys with beards.
Yes.
If you look like you were from ISIS or Al-Qaeda or you were an Orthodox Jew or you were a Sikh, this woman would be like all over you.
Well, I wasn't actually into the long, long beards at the time. Mm. I preferred a little bit of, you know, heavy stubble.
Scruff.
Okay. That was my thing. Yeah, that was primo. And it turns out most of the ladies out there that were surveyed by a company, they said the same thing. Heavy stubble, number one. Now, my husband... who is a musician, so he can get away with this.
He has long hair,
way longer than mine,
right.
And not only a beard, but the long beard. Like he looks like Jesus Christ.
Oh, you say Jesus Christ. When I see this picture, I say Satan.
Well, not Satan, because Satan has horns. He doesn't have any horns, as far as I know. But he does have a little bit of a Charles Manson
look to him. Hold on. You've never touched... a top of his forehead.
No, I mean, but you know, sometimes they can hide them. The devil types are very crafty.
Okay,
those things can be put down. They come out in certain light. But no, I have not seen any. He's a very kind person too. But he looks. It's a Charles Manson Jesus.
You're struggling to describe him.
Yeah.
You just think of him as Satan. That's it.
Well, I do not, because
he's got a ZZ Top kind of beard.
It's pretty long. Now, he's probably listening, so I have to be careful with what I say.
So let me ask you a few
I'm
questions.
I'm not a huge fan of the ZZ Top long beard.
And is there a reason why you don't like the long beard, but you like the scruff?
The long beard tends to look a little crazy at times. Now, his...
Well, quite frankly, your husband looks crazy. I've seen pictures of him.
Well, you met him.
Yes.
Brief. I mean, it was in the morning. So, but the thing is, his beard, it kind of does this. This is maybe where the horns come in, but only upside down. His beard kind of separates at the end of the beard and sort of prongs out.
The parts, that the red sheet.
Yeah. So it's like there's a little bit of devil horn thing going on
there.
Holy God.
All right.
Let's
find out from our many listeners out there. Juliet is attracted to men with beards. There's no doubt. I've seen her in a crowd. I've seen her immediately gravitate to guys with beards.
Prince Harry was nothing until he had a beard. And then all of a sudden...
You went gaga goo goo.
Gaga goo goo. Number two on my list.
Whereas if you had a baby face look, I mean, you just came out of the barbershop.
My husband is one, Mongolooch.
Right, but if you came out with a clean shave...
I'd have nothing to do with it.
You would have absolutely not. You could have had the best personality. You could have been buying the drinks. You could have been a billionaire. Wouldn't have mattered.
But if you look younger than me, hell no.
Our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, this is the problem I have with guys with beards.
Uh-huh.
Other than the fact that they look like they could be members of ISIS or Al-Qaeda and ready to blow us all up.
Well, the long beards, yeah, but not just stubble.
All right. Is the food in the beard.
Oh.
How many times do you see the gavons?
Okay, yeah.
They've just eaten a meal, and they got all these bits of food in their beard, a real gavon. And, you don't want to tell them, hey, guy, you got these breadcrumbs in your beard.
Oh, no, it's like a woman walking around with her tag hanging out of her body. You tell them. You just walk up, even if it's a stranger, just politely say, your tag's
right,
I mean,
right.
No, if you see a guy, well, I mean, hopefully not a girl, a guy with a long beard, and there's, because John... You know, yeah.
He gets that spritz.
I immediately start looking at him and go, and it creeps me out, and he immediately takes it away.
Does he carry around a comb to constantly comb it?
Well, I gave him my brush, so he brushes it. He
has a female brush?
Well, I don't think I don't think it's like unmanly. Discriminates against male or female.
How unmanly is that?
No, he's not. He's all man.
I mean,
sweetheart.
He's probably like a capon now that he's married, you know, which is a castrated rooster, which we're going to be talking about up next. But my God, he's using female utensils to clean his
beard. All right. You need to hang out with him because you will see. It's not a female utensil. It's a brush. Men use brushes, Curtis. I mean, yeah, you don't have any hair.
Look,
so.
A guy uses a brush in a certain area.
Well, he's
area.
Italian. He's very, he's
females
got hair.
Use brushes in multiple areas. Okay, I would never
what?
Use a female.
No, what are you yeah, talking right. about?
What are you talking
what
about?
What are you talking about?
No way.
Weirdo. Below what are you talking about? A brush where?
Yeah, below the erogenous
what
zone.
What are you talking about right
There's
now?
There's absolutely.
No, they
way.
Don't. I if can you assure you of that.
You give me one of those pink brushes, right?
Pink brushes?
It could have been the last brush in the world. I would say, no thank you, ma'am, because I know where that brush has been.
What are you talking about?
I call it an erogenous zone brush.
All right. I don't even know what you're talking. Well, first of all, are we talking the 1970s here?
No, we're talking modern day. Modern day terminology.
Well, you should not be seeing this
Our
stuff.
Number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Phil, who's calling from Suffolk County. Oh, welcome to Curtis and Juliet Hardy, substituting for Rita Cosby today, Phil.
Yeah, I always enjoy the show. So with the subject of beards, you really have to have the right or wrong face. Sometimes a beard can enhance it. Sometimes it's hiding things. But the stubble is a no-brainer. If you don't have dark hair, you can't have stubble. Myself, my beard is white, so if I have stubble, I don't look cool. I look homeless.
Oh, no. That's fair. How old are you?
67.
Oh, no. It's dapper. It's dapper.
Yeah, dapper is another word for old fool.
No, that's not true. Men become, look, I mean, it's sad, but I mean, as men get older, they become more distinguished.
Phil, there's an opportunity here because the way Juliet goes through men and
divorces, be quiet.
She's out there in Long Island. You're not too far away from her.
Don't even start.
I'm happily married.
Yeah, so am I, Curtis.
Well, I understand that for now.
Listen. Oh, look who's talking.
For now.
I have a wonderful husband, so
it's okay.
Back off.
Keep saying that. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jimmy, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Jimmy.
Curtis and Juliet, how are we today?
Great. How are you?
Curtis, I'm going to play right into your playbook here with this beard thing. I think it's a millennial thing. Because they're lazy.
Well, my husband's not a millennial, I can assure you of that. So that's
well,
that takes
know,
so that out.
The guys pick up, they want to look like millennials. So, you know, they go with the beard thing. But I think basically it's just a lazy thing, and it's just easy to just grow a beard and not have to worry about shaving everything.
Yeah, but what about all the guys who are in their 40s and 50s who have beards?
Which they is want like, to be millennials. They want to look
younger. Oh, gotcha.
By the way, Curtis... Today's a monumental day. I think you forgot about.
Go for it. Remind me.
It's 6 months today. The Mongoloosh. And you said he wouldn't make it.
That's right. That is true.
I was hoping Rita would be there today.
Well, let me tell you something, Jim. You're absolutely right. I said the over-under point spread is this deadbeat, this slacker, this iconic figure for all millennials and for hipsters will never make it.
He's so in love with his wife, too. It's so cute.
Yeah, for now. For now, he is.
All right, congratulations to the Mongoloosh.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's right.
So, man.
You know what they have out right now? I'm going to show you, but you can look at this online. They actually have Christmas fairy lights for beards. I'm showing
what?
Curtis a picture of this right now.
Oh, you got to post that.
I'm going to.
Hey, Christian,
I'm send
with
this to
the
my
beard,
husband.
Right? That's one of the reasons. You look at a guy like Christian and you say, this is a little devil here. You know, why don't you shave that beard off and look like a normal human being, like a normal guy?
He looks normal. What are you talking about? You looked really good when you had a beard. You made me shave it off, too. And Nancy, it was creepy.
Evil.
You didn't have to. You actually should have kept it.
Wearing a beard gives you that evil look.
No, it gives you that sexy... You know,
I don't think so.
Manly.
Well, I find out from our listeners, and especially from women out there, because so far guys are weighing in. But when you see a man with a beard,
it indicates a male's ability to successfully compete socially with other males for resources. Mm-hmm.
Not
because
to
they
me.
Render men with older, more masculine, socially dominant, and aggressive appearance.
It
that
signals to me
study.
That he's a closeted ISIS guy, closeted Al Qaeda guy. Really, you know, he wants to be a rebel with a cause. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Greg, who's calling from Warwick. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Greg?
Hey, guys.
Great show. Keep up the good work. I always have a beard. And I don't know, every once in a while, for whatever reason, I go freaky and I shave it off. And everybody freaks out. And I grow it back.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah.
By the way, Greg, do you have one of those kind of beards where little birdies actually nest in your beard and you have no idea that that's going on because you do no maintenance of your beard whatsoever?
Curtis, here's what you do. This is what the Harley riders do. We keep one of those shampoo brushes. That thing is great. That gets right through the beard.
A shampoo brush? Skin. That is so girly. Okay. That is so unmanly.
Would you wear
Greg.
Fairy lights for beard for your beard if we sent them to you? If you like your family got you some fairy lights, they're like little multicolored. No, I swear to God, it's seriously out there. It's from a company called Fire. Wait,
fairy
where did it go?
Lights.
Firebox. It's fairy lights for your beard.
See, years ago, I could have done so much with that. I can't say anything now about that.
No, you
that.
Could say it. Nobody's going to get mad at you.
No, it's okay. I know where the line is drawn.
Oh,
anyway,
I know what you're going
to
say.
Let's go.
Same
to...
ladies that you're hanging out with that apparently have brushes.
Well, they have Erogenia Zone brushes.
Okay. Well,
oh, yeah, no. I'm telling you.
I understand the concept, but I'm just saying that it's...
You know, hair can grow in many places.
And I understand that. But
that's why women like yourself, you shave your legs or you use Nair and just start traveling up your anatomy. Well, anyway, let's go to Russell, who's calling from White Plains. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Russ.
Thanks, Curtis. You're cruising near the hashtag MeToo zone a little bit with Juliet, okay?
No.
Yeah, he wants to get married again, obviously. But I'd like to know, Juliet, have you ever seen your husband without a beard?
Have I seen my husband without a beard?
Yeah, I mean in real life, not in a picture.
No.
Okay, well, I'll be waiting. Thank you very much.
Yeah, see, that was a simple question.
I don't even understand what that means. I'll be waiting.
Well, you know, will you lose affection for him? Will he not have the same appeal
No, of course he will. Well, no, maybe he won't. I don't know.
And why is it that so many times you'll look at a couple and you'll say, oh, that woman, that's his beard?
That's a whole other topic, Curtis.
But why do they use the term
covering
beard?
Up something?
See?
But I've seen pictures with I've seen my husband have...
What is a man covering up when he grows a beard?
Nothing. I mean, it depends, I guess.
Well, then why do they use that term?
Because he looks hot. I mean, my husband looks good. Mm. But here's the thing. To sort of, conversely, from that last caller, I am not a huge fan of my husband's long beard. I like the short, you know, sort of manicured beard. But I still love him just as much.
I see a beard. I see ISIS. I see Al Qaeda.
Yes.
Let's go to Pete calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Pete.
Hey, Curtis. How are you? Hey, Juliet. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Curtis. You know, I work outside in the wintertime. I work in construction,
mm-hmm.
and I started growing a beard like 3 years ago, and I started right at Thanksgiving. I cut it right off. It makes a world of difference, you know. And I'm a man's man, and. It makes a world of difference.
It keeps you it keeps you cozy.
Oh, it makes a world of difference. It keeps it takes the frigid, you know, it takes the chill right off you.
What are you?
And my wife loves it.
Yeah, Pete, what are you covering up that you're wearing a beard?
Oh, please,
come on,
trust
Pete.
Me, Curtis, there's nothing. The minute
no,
it warms up,
there's something.
Right,
I know that's
he's
what
saying
you
he's
say,
going by. He goes
subliminal.
By
there's
half
something
the time. He's
subliminal
got the...
about that.
Oh no, there's not.
Let's go to Kelly, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC, Kelly.
Yes, hi. I love, my husband has a goatee and a mustache.
Yes.
If he ever shaved it, I would die because he looks so handsome and so hot. And I will tell you a story. The last time that he did it, my youngest daughter just turned 11. That's the last time he shaved. And she wouldn't go near him for like 5 days.
Oh, that's hysterical.
She was horrified.
My husband's niece, little niece, she's very young. She's not a huge fan of the long beard. She freaks out about the beard because he's grown it out and we don't see them all the time. And she's like,
Yeah, but Kelly, let me ask you a question. Let's say you're just smooching, you're necking, whatever you want to call it.
Necking.
I mean, don't you get beard burn and mustache
no,
burn?
No. Soft.
No, not at all. And my husband's a really hot guy, and it just and he if he ever shaved it, I'd kill him.
Go, Kelly, go.
So when he goes south of the Erogenous zone, it's delicate down there. It's okay.
chance.
Everything's good.
Matter.
Everything's good.
Everything's great. Sure it is. Sure it is. Heathens.
Oh, you have a beard, Curtis.
Diablo. I know, I had
Why
to.
Did you shave it, though? You said it was getting itchy
hated,
or something.
Hated That's, the beard.
Talk about
hated
wimpy.
The beard. Man, I thought I was joining ISIS or Al-Qaeda. 1-800-848-WABC. As Julie has weighed in, Julie Huddy, substituting for Rita Cosby, saying that she is attracted to men with beards.
Well,
finds
I mean, I think beards
far
are,
more attractive.
And most of the people that were surveyed in the study said that they agree.
And
the
I
short
find
stubble
them
is the best.
To be demonic. Anyway,
well,
let's go to Giuseppe.
I find you
Joey,
to be demonic.
Calling from Fishkill. Welcome to WABC, Giuseppe.
You know what I think it is? I think Julia could attest to this. You know, women and boys.
Oh, that was a.
And I think, you know, guys wearing a beard, it's just a sign of them, you know, being more of a man. And I just, you know, one of the observations, too, is, you know, my son's in the Marine Corps. You look at all the, you know, Marines are all clean cut, clean shaven and everything. They look great. And those guys are men. But then you look at the special operators and,
yes.
and you know, Navy SEALs and these guys who are, you know, special ops units. A lot of these guys wear beards and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know. You don't get more manly than those guys.
All right,
you know?
But Joe, what do you say about the many women that I've met over the years, particularly those who are from near the boot in Italy and Sicily?
Oh, boy.
They would have the mustache, the beard, the whole nine yards, huh?
Well, you know, that's what they say, right? You know why some Italian guys wear mustaches? Because they want to look like their moms.
Yep, absolutely.
Stop it.
And I've had some chaperones that were assigned to me from the hills of Calabria. And they all had, like, mustaches and what certainly looked like beards to me.
Didn't nobody bother to tell them that it was, that there are ways to get it, you know, to take it away?
Electrolysis and that? No.
Or just even a razor.
They found it intimidating. They wanted to look intimidating. Because, see, when you're a chaperone, you want
Wait,
that.
What do you mean chaperone? For
that,
what?
That means if you're dating, let's say, their niece
oh.
or their granddaughter.
Wait, what?
They're following you.
You see, you're talking about here in America, though, you had women who were from Calabria.
No. The chaperones were calabres, which are hard-headed women.
Right, okay.
And they would have, like, definite mustaches, and you can see partial beards.
And they would be with you on your dates?
Oh, they'd be eye-fornicating you and mad-dogging you. It's almost like the moment you would go to put your hand around...
What century did you grow up? When did this happen?
It's the 60s and 70s. It's
really?
It's Canarsie, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
A lot of calabres. A lot of Sicilianos. You know, the Sicilianos, it's like once their husband dies, that's it. They wear all black, and then all of a sudden they get a mustache and a beard, and they look like a monk in the Orthodox Church. They could be in the Greek Orthodox Church or the Armenian Orthodox Church or the Serbian Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox. That's how big the beard gets. Anyway, up next.
Never heard anything.
We're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving / early Christmas.
Woo-hoo!
With Juliet Huddy up next. But first, let's get some news headlines and updates.
You know what the song is, Curtis?
God, I feel like I'm in the bowels of hell.
You're supposed to. It's called Black Juliet, and it is by my husband, actually, and his friend. Brett Weatherston, they did the background music for my podcast that starts in a couple weeks.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
So this, can I have a little bit more of that, please? Because man, it really feels like I crawled into the belly of the beast.
I said, please do something that is fast and that makes it sound like your brain is about to explode.
Look at Christian. It's like he's ready to jump into the mosh pit here.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what we want.
Joseph, Christian, if you jump off the stage into the mosh pit, I'm going to tell everyone, let him fall.
Yeah.
Let him wear a cast.
Yes, I can see you in the mosh pit.
Well, because he's a millennial and a hipster, and I despise, I loathe, I hate him, as we do, Brian Mongalooch. Our producer and board operator.
Thank you guys.
They're in that 30 zone there, you know, and apparently they celebrate Thanksgiving a little differently than baby boomers, my generation, or your generation, which.
Gen X.
Wow, that was quick. Boy, you jumped in on that.
Well, I mean, you know. I'm going to get it out there just in case.
You know, I didn't even ask you what your age was, and boom, right away, it was a Gen X, which would put you in what range? Gen X.
I forget what the range is. I think I'm at the top of the range, though.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me look.
Well, why
are you doing that?
The reason that Juliet Huddy, who is the news gal for Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenbaum in the morning.
61 to 81.
Did I say Rosenbaum?
You did. You did. Oh, my goodness.
Well, he doesn't drink anymore. He's at the juice bar, but... Sid Rosenberg. But you were kind enough, since Rita had her birthday with Mickey Mouse yesterday.
Party.
And was hanging off of the chandeliers.
Or
was,
on a bar.
Unable to get here to work today. She's under the weather. So Juliet was able to hang for the next 3 hours. But apparently, even in advance of Thanksgiving, you're already celebrating Christmas?
No. Don't jump the gun. No, I celebrate Christmas, yeah. But, I mean, we have people coming over to our house. This is our first time. It's our first house together. First time we're having a big, you know, holiday gathering. So they're all coming over, obviously, on Thursday. We've got, like, 20-something people. So I wanted the tree to be up.
Tree?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah, it's up and it's decorated. I'm just waiting for the gold balls to show up.
What are you having, anxiety attacks?
I want it to look really pretty. And it really looks nice, though. Everything's up. I got the wreath. I mean, I basically forced my husband to do this.
Did he have to go outside on a ladder?
We didn't do I will tell you this. We did not do the real tree this year. And I have been so against that my entire life. But I read an article about these little bugs that lay dormant in Christmas trees.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and then they come out like in the warmth of your home, and I was like,
"Wow!" So you have an artificial tree.
So, but we invested in it. Okay, so we invested in a nice tree.
Sure,
it looks it's incredible. It's 10 feet. It looks real. It feels real. And then we have the candles that smell like pine. So you can't even tell.
No, hold on a second. If I happen to be one of your invited guests for Thanksgiving.
Which you won't be.
Right, for Thanksgiving Day event in which I get to put on the chow bag. If I saw a Christmas tree up, fully decorated, I'd walk out the house. I'd say,
well,
you're mixing.
I guess it's good that you're not invited.
You're not mixing
holidays. Thanksgiving is it's the festive holiday time of the year. I can still give thanks for my wonderful blessings, but
it's
it's
honest when we gave smallpox and blankets to the Indians.
I think things change, though, when people stop always putting the colored lights on the trees, and now they do the white lights. I've got a theme here. I've got a blue, silver, gold, purple, green thing.
Now, question. Did you force your satanic-looking, heavy metal husband to go outside, get on the ladder, and start putting up outdoor lights?
No, I haven't done that yet, but
But you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it'll look like the South Shore, Staten Island, Tottenville, or Dyker Heights.
Yes.
I mean, fully lit up.
No. Not that bit. But no, he's excited because this is his first house, so he's excited to do that.
Now, I understand that you extended an invitation to Brian Mongolucci, the millennial hipster and producer.
I absolutely did. Yes,
Not to yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, and my wife Nancy.
I don't think you guys would be.
Well, she's from Bohemia. She's from out in Long Island.
I don't think you guys would fit.
You just don't want us there. That's really what it is. I don't blame you because I would be definitely.
I mean, Nancy is perfectly welcome.
Well, maybe not.
You are not.
Maybe not. Let me explain.
Had you at my house before.
We will be going to her family's side for Thanksgiving.
I knew that. That's why I didn't invite you.
It's all Polish all the time. It's out near Bohemia.
I'm Polish, right, by the way, too.
Out in Bohemia, in Suffolk.
No, I am.
And even though they have the crackers ham, they'll have the turkey, all the traditional delights, my wife Nancy's a vegan. Vegetarian,
God.
Who's now actually gone to becoming a vegan. So if I even look at meat, I get a dirty look.
But her family isn't.
No, they're old-time Polacks.
So... Why? So then, I don't see Nancy being mad at you if you ate.
No, trust me. Late, when she looks at, and you know, because I can't eat red meat anymore because of my Crohn's disease, but I have fish and fowl, and she'll look at me like, you don't really want to do that. And then she'll show me one of those films.
Well, why do you let her show you the films? I mean, that I am always going to believe
films,
that they're not real animals.
You don't want to eat any chicken. You don't want to eat any meat products. You don't want to eat any fish. You see the fish's eyes bulging out of its head.
Wait, what's going on with the fish? What are you talking about with the fish?
Oh, no.
Well, don't say that. Don't say that.
I'm just saying.
Don't say that.
You know, I'm going to have a problem approaching Christmas. Remember the Knights of the Seven Fishes. That's going to be difficult.
I feel like you shouldn't elaborate on this at all. You're ruining this entire holiday for me.
Well, that's why you wouldn't want me at your house.
Well, I wouldn't want you at my house for many, many reasons.
Anyway, let's open up the phone lines on this. 1-800-848-WABC. What kind of gavones out there would actually be putting up their trees in advance of Thanksgiving?
I know I'm going to get just reamed out about this, too.
Like
but
Julia
I don't care.
Huddy has.
I don't care.
I mean, I don't understand. Separate it.
Because you want your house to look pretty for all your relatives that are showing up. That's what I mean, what's the big... Who cares?
What is your house?
You're not the boss of me.
Is it a dump to begin with?
No,
isn't
it's
nice?
Beautiful, and okay. I want to amp it up. I mean, I think... I talked about this with Bernie this morning. I want to leave the Christmas tree up year-round, frankly.
Year-round?
Not with the balls on it, but just...
An artificial tree up year-round?
Yes. Yep. And God. I don't see what the problem is with that.
You are a real freakazoid.
God, that's what Bernie said.
848-WABC. Well, we think alike, me and Bernie. Let's go to Mario, who's calling from Yonkers. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Mario.
How are you guys? Fourth time in 4 weeks I'm talking to you.
Oh man. It's pretty soon it'll be the Quinella.
My paisan.
Yes.
My paisan. Bad A's. Listen to me. You got to go when the weather is good. You have to be able to decorate, not with the snow, not with the rain. Yesterday was a dry day. 35 trips up to the attic, in the garage. My house is done.
Yeah.
Three trees are up. My granddaughters walked in this morning, and they had their mouths open before school. They said, was Santa Claus here already?
See,
said,
they no, weren't no, judging. No.
You know,
they
weren't
judging.
Exactly.
Are you having an anxiety attack that you got to do all this pre-Christmas stuff before the holiday itself?
No, it's not. We're not doing Thanksgiving this year at my house, so nobody's going to really be coming there. But my wife pressures me so much every year. I didn't want to do it at all, but she said, the granddaughters.
We don't have any.
I'm soft for the granddaughters.
All right. Well, that's very sweet.
Right. Do you have all the decorations up outside your house, Mario?
85%. The manger's got to go up.
85.
Yet,
so, Mario.
And the roof light.
If you live in Odine Hill, make sure you leave the TV on in the window so people think you're home, because if you're away on Thanksgiving, you're going to come back, nothing's going to be left.
I'm going to be across the street at my son's house, so there's no problem.
So, I got to ask, though, because I've never had a house living in this area. I wanted to get the little reindeer. We went over to Target yesterday, the little lighted reindeer that you can put out on your little lawn. I wanted to do that.
Right.
Do people steal them? Or do I have to worry about
this? Yeah, of course
they come with. No, they don't. They come with little anchors that you put like where the hoofs would be, and you anchor them to the ground. You got to have to worry more about the wind than people taking.
Hey, Mario, you must live in a good part of Yonkers, one of the few that are left, because they'll come with a pickup truck at 3 o'clock in the morning. You could have 50 pounds of concrete underneath the little reindeer, and they'll figure out a way to get it in the pickup truck and take it away.
No, I'll sit in the window with a gun and wait for somebody to come by and pull that nonsense at my house. No way. My deer are staying.
How could you put up decorations?
It's because who cares? Well, I mean, it's 3 days. It's a big deal.
I don't know. Anyway, let's go to Anthony calling from Carl Place. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Anthony.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Juliet.
Hi,
Curtis. Hey, guys. I want to tell Juliet that I had left a Christmas tree. I lived in Garden City for many years, and I left a Christmas tree up for a few years. And every holiday, I decorated the tree in cards. On Valentine's Day, the tree was decorated in Valentine's Day cards. For Mother's Day, it was in Mother's Day cards, and Father's Day was in Father's Day cards. I left it up all year for like 3 years in a row. The only thing is, Juliet, is eventually you're going to have to take it down and put a new one up because it gets dusty.
You're onto something, though. You're onto something. I feel like we need to get together. People, like-minded people, need to get together and start pushing for this. I think that this could actually be something.
Anthony, let me ask you a question. Is this an artificial tree you had up all year or a real tree?
No, it was an artificial tree.
Okay, you think it has a real tree up for years and years and years? It's just living?
Well, what is that? That means it gets all dried out, right? And it could be a fire hazard, right? Like in California, right?
Well,
not a real tree. It was an artificial.
Okay, I accept that. But what happens if you have a dog in the house and then the dog sees that you have a tree there year-round, so instead of going outside, the dog decides to lift its leg and just do what he's got to do in the
house? The same reason he doesn't do it on your couch.
I guess that's a problem, but I had at the time 5 cats.
Oh,
and I'll
Lord.
Tell you, every once in a while, they did want to climb in the tree.
I'd get rid of the cat before I got rid of the tree.
What? What? Don't, no, that's
kidding.
Another reason you don't want Nancy to come.
No, I love it. My mother saves the animal. She's my crazy mother's walking around, you know, Hoboken picking up stray cats.
What are you talking? My wife is crazy. No, I mean she goes after cats.
No, you know what I mean.
No, I understand.
I love. You guys are wonderful.
I think you're weird. The fact that you would put up a Christmas tree not after Thanksgiving is over. Like over this next coming weekend. I can understand if you did that.
First of all, the calls that are coming in are primarily my side.
Yes, they are.
So I think that you've got everything wrong.
But there are a bunch wrong. Of Gavones.
Well,
let's go to Richie.
You're insulting the audience, and
Richie,
I don't like that.
Richie in Brooklyn.
I apologize for him.
Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Rich.
How you doing, Curtis and Rita? I love your show. I just want to say I had a funny story. I have a friend that's an Orthodox Jew, and they decorated his house with Christmas lights when he came home.
Oh, my. That's a shocker. Oh, he probably got excommunicated from his Hasidic or his Orthodox sect.
He was beside himself. He didn't even think it was his house.
Well, that's funny that you say that because my tree, like I said, I was going with a blue theme and I had kind of like blue and white, but it did sort of look like a big Hanukkah tree.
Yeah, but
so
see,
I started to put the like purple and golds and
the
stuff.
The biggest
in it.
Problem that, let's say, Reform Jews have, conservative Jews, because obviously the ultra-Orthodox has sin, I mean, they don't think you should have a tree because that celebrates Christmas, a Christian holiday. But do you, as a Jew, have a tree in your house? You know, you can celebrate Hanukkah.
My
but
brother's
also
married to
Christmas.
An Israeli. She's Jewish, and they just had a baby, and there's no apparently Christmas presents allowed and tree. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on a second.
That's un-American, right?
It's well, they live in Israel, and I mean, she's Israeli.
Well, Israel's like the 51st state. You know?
I really
well,
have
let's
a problem
find out
with this.
If anybody can
I'm very upset
that.
About this.
If you're a Reformed Jew, if you're a conservative Jew, not an ultra-Orthodox, not a Hasidic.
If you're just a Jew.
Right.
Give us a call.
Do you have a Christmas tree in your house? Because, you know, a lot of people, you know,
it's a commercial
the
type
thing. The other
thing
they don't want you saying, some Jews, is knock on wood. You know what knock on wood means? Knock on the crucifix.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. What? See, I'm educated.
I didn't go to, I never studied religion. I never went to church.
Well, yeah. Well,
my
look,
parents were heathens.
You married a Satan-looking guy.
I married a Satan guy.
There's no doubt about it.
God, I'm
he's
going
a demon.
Downhill fast.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.